Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. TD, Teron Davenport, will join us shortly, but before we get to TD, we were just touching on Peter Skoronski, and Jared asked Mike Vrabel the question, essentially, you have high expectations for a first-round pick. He's 11th overall pick. I understand the perspective of, look, this is a bad offensive line. He's got a rookie left tackle next to him. He's got an undersized center to the other side of him. He's got a really difficult job. Like, he's not getting a whole lot of help around him. But I understand the argument of, look, he's the 11th overall pick. He was a left tackle in college. You put him at guard because you said that that's where his he's best used is at guard. And we said before, yeah, you're going to put him at guard. You better be a pretty darn good guard. And Peter Skoronski wasn't a very good guard yesterday. I am willing to give Peter Skoronski the benefit of the doubt for the game yesterday, because yesterday was bad. That maybe he's dealing with something injury-wise that he sustained during the game when he went down early. Or Mike Vrabel mentioned the flu. Aziz Alshire was dealing with the flu yesterday. Mm-hmm. Pretty good game for somebody who's dealing with the flu. Iconic flu game. I'm willing to give Peter Skoronski the benefit of the doubt for yesterday. But for the sake of the future of this offensive line, you're going to need more from Peter Skoronski moving forward.
Yeah, you're going to need more from everybody on this team that's going to be on this team next season moving forward. It's not just Peter. I look at Peter from this standpoint. Whether he was drafted 11th, which he was, or 21st or 25th.
He's a first-round pick.
He's still a first-round pick. And the expectations for a first-round pick is to go out there and show that you're getting better each and every game. Show that you're picking up on the game. You're going to get beat. The best ones get beat. Mm-hmm. But show me that you can come back and learn from whatever mistake after you've watched the film. Go and learn. Work on your technique each and every day. Again, Peter Skoronski is the least of my problems because he's going to be here next year. The thing is that the problem is the things around him. Put him a better left tackle. Get him a beefier center, okay? And watch how much he transforms as a player, because if I'm good, you should get good. If you're good, iron sharpens iron. You get him a tackle, a left tackle that can be a franchise left tackle, and you get him a center, a veteran guy that maybe is in his eighth year, seventh year, that can give, sort of like Ben Jones, when they brought Ben Jones over. I think Ben was in his, sixth or seventh year. They bring him over, and Ben helps solidify that offensive line. They need somebody like him. Doesn't need to be an all-pro. He just needs to solidify the line. He needs to be the leader. They lost that leadership when Ben left. They need it back. They need a constant, someone that's going to be there every day. That's going to help out Peter Skoronski, and then that's going to help out the left tackle.
TD is on the line. Teron Davenport. TD, appreciate you for joining us. We were just kind of breaking down the biggest reason, the blame pie, so to speak, for the Titans' loss yesterday. If you had to point to one thing or things, what would you say was the reason why the Titans lost in overtime to the Texans yesterday?
I think a big thing was the inability to run the football and the inability to stop it. And that's always been their formula for winning, right? You know, doing those things, and neither one of them happened. I mean, Devin Singletary, he looked like, you know, an all-world running back, and they made an all-world running back look very average yesterday. So I think that's really what it came down to. And the all-world running back I'm talking about is Derrick Henry.
That's the frustrating thing, that this Titans defense has made two running backs look like all-world running backs in Zach Moss earlier this season in Indianapolis, and then Devin Singletary yesterday. Another thing that I'm just absolutely crushed about or frustrated about is this offensive line gets another quarterback hurt, Will Levis, with a sprained ankle. If Levis can't go on Sunday against the Seahawks, who do you think should be the quarterback for the Titans?
Yeah, I mean, it pretty much has to be Ryan Tannehill. I don't see any reason why you would go any other way. And D. May said it earlier, like, you know, it could get ugly if Willis is out there, and that could really end up having the season go even worse, right? And on an even worse note. So I think Tannehill should be the guy. You could keep the offense as similar to what Levis has done as possible. I mean, Tannehill could still push the ball down the field and do the things, and that would be a good opportunity for him to showcase what he has left. So, you know, whether it be Atlanta or wherever he should end up going, you know, he'll have, you know, some good film probably out there to help him up.
Now, TD, what did you think of Treylon Burks yesterday? I thought that, you know, they involved him early. It looked like they were intentional and tried to involve him in the game, and he showed up big. What did you – and then off of that, what did you see in the second half? Was it all the offensive line why they couldn't do some of the things that they were doing in the first half?
Yeah, I think it was mostly the offensive line. And, I mean, there were some times, like, they got away from the play action. And, you know, a lot of people, they don't realize that, you know, when you go – because you mentioned play action. They say, oh, well, the offensive line is getting killed. Okay, yes, but, you know, when you go play action, that also implements max protection, right? So, you know, that gives you an opportunity to get more protection and have those longer developing routes actually develop and happen. So I think that was the thing that they got away from it. There were a couple of times like they ran that play action strike route and they hit that. But, I mean, that was a big issue and just total breakdowns in protection. I mean, you had guys up front just getting blown away. You know, the interior pressure was coming. Then you know, they were blitzing sometimes. I mean, you look at the Will Levis where he got injured. You know, Desmond King came on a blitz. And it was just collectively just too much.
Now, did you get a chance to talk with Will Levis? I know Coach Vrabel spoke of it a little bit, the pass that got intercepted. And, you know, you see on that pass that Treylon Burks was streaking down the sidelines wide open. And from my experience, when you run a play like that, you take a peek at the deep route quickly. And if it's not open, then you come to the – you know, the out, the deep out. But if it's there, you take it. Did Will walk you through it if you were able to talk to him? Or what did you see?
Yeah, he actually did give a very good explanation of that. And he talked about how, you know, that corner, he thought that corner was going to stay with that route. But he saw him come off of Burks. And actually, that's ended up being the guy that picked off Hopkins. So it was one of those things where he had an alert. And he thought, you know, he was going to go one place, and then it was almost like after he threw it, he realized that, oh, I should have went uptown. You know what I mean? And that's basically what happened. And I asked Mike Vrabel about that today, and he touched on it as well. And, you know, he just said you got to be more careful with the football. And he's right. And, you know, it ended up being an interception. And, you know, there's a couple throws that Levis obviously we're one back, right? You know, you had the one, you know, on that deep crosser to Hopkins that, you know, he put it on his back shoulder. And, you know, it's tough. A lot of people don't understand how tough it is to be running full speed one way and have to turn your body backwards and catch the football. And by the way, there's somebody bearing down on you trying to murder you when you catch it. So you had that one. You know, he has to give him a better ball on that. And then you also the post route. I mean, he underthrew it and he admitted underthrowing it, and, you know, he puts that on the money, and Hopkins scores.
Yeah, so many in a game like that that goes to overtime. You look at so many plays like that that could have been a little turn or twist that could have been the difference. Let me ask you about this, Teron. Tajay Spears, I coming off of the game he had on Monday, and especially given the fact that throughout the game, it was so clear that the Texans set out to just take Derrick Henry out of the game, and they neutralized him. They were doing a good job of that. I just was surprised they didn't find a way to give Spears a shot a little bit more in one form or another.
I'm sorry, say that last part again.
Were you surprised that they didn't find a way to get Spears involved a little bit more, especially in the passing game, only one target?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. He had 9 touches or 10 touches overall. And, I definitely agree that they should have gotten him involved more, especially when you look at how, you know, the offensive line is getting beat quickly. You know, some of those routes out of the backfield, the quick ones, and even having him, you know, motion out wide or anything like that, you would think they would have gotten him involved more. I meant to ask about that. I'll have to follow up when we have Tim Kelly on Thursday. I mean, by that point, it'd be so far extended away from the game, but I'm curious what his thoughts were as far as like why they didn't do that. So I agree with you 100%.
And even as a runner, he's a different type of runner, and maybe they're not keying on him as much, and he did run the ball more effectively, just relatively speaking. You know, is that a game where it's just time to take the next chapter and find out what he can do as more of a featured guy? I'm curious how they use him in the last few games as well. And that sort of leads me to the other part of the equation. And Teron, you were big on this after the game yesterday. Derrick Henry kind of reflecting and looking long-term and wondering what's next. And you can't blame him for in that moment, especially after he had one of the lower productive levels that I've ever seen him have, that he would feel that way. But it does make you wonder what's next.
Yeah, no, you do wonder that. And just to be clear, he doesn't feel like his time is coming to an end. Like that's not what he was saying when I asked the question. But he did admit to, thinking about, how there is limited time left in this season and how it could be. And that's something that you have to wonder, right, when you look at the fact that there's two more home games, there's three games overall. This is a team where, Henry has 411 snaps, Tajay Spears has 410. So it's like 53% for each of them because, they're both on the field a lot at the same time.
Right.
And you have to wonder, you look at this offense. I forget off the top, how many attempts Levis had yesterday, but I know in just, his six or seven games, he has three attempts of 39 or more, 38 or more. And from 2021 to week six, Tannehill had three himself. So there is and obviously, there's different coordinators, but I mean, it does seem like there's a shift in how they're working the offense. So all of that being considered, good possibility that Henry isn't brought back. I think it would be wise to bring him back, but there's definitely a possibility that he's not.
Yeah, the cap figure, the money is a big part of it. What did you make of Mike Vrabel's discussion of the question of what is Derrick Henry right now? Can he still dominate? What did you make of how he answered that question?
I mean, listen, I don't. Like, he's not going to get up there and say that he's not an elite back anymore. Like he's not going to get up there and say that. And I don't believe that Derrick Henry isn't still an elite back, to be honest with you. But I mean, look, the fact of the matter is he ran the ball 16 times. He got hit behind the line of scrimmage 9, right? And just like he said, they have to get him to that second level. They have to, give him an opportunity to get going. He's not a start and stop kind of guy. So that right there, is fact, in my opinion. So I think he answered it correctly.
Now, TD, the defensive line. Obviously, no Simmons, no Pico. We know what happened with Tyre Tart. Do you think that they should have tried to at least work it out for the remainder of the season with Tyre Tart? Because I think this is going to be the beginning, at least for the remainder of the season, of a defensive line that is not going to be able to stop the run, because now you're missing your three big bodies that were not only, good pass rushers at time, and I'm talking mainly of Simmons, but you're talking about run stuffers in the middle of that defense. Now you don't have them.
Yeah, I think, when you take out Kyle Pecco, he's quietly, had a pretty solid season. So, yeah, that's definitely something that you have to consider. So I think when you look at that, Tart, like they need to find a way to, Quinn Bohannon, you got Jaleel Johnson. They're going to have to find a way to get something out of those guys. You know what I mean? So I'm not sure what they're going to be able to do, because you look at a lot of those runs yesterday, it was from the interior, right? Between the tackles. And that's an area where they've typically been strong. But, when you take away those top guys, it's become a weakness, and Azeez Al-Shaair has to be behind them and make the plays. And, I mean, he had 13 tackles yesterday. And, that's just kind of showing you, like, the running backs are getting to the second level, because not all of his tackles were for a loss or even at the line of scrimmage. So that's a problem.
TD Jaron Davenport is with us. TD, Paul Kaharsky reported on Friday that the Titans were moving on from Tyler Tarr. What was your reaction when you heard the news? And what do you make of the timing and the decision to move on from Tyler Tarr?
Yeah, the timing is kind of crazy. Just, you know, knowing there's three games left. And
crazy.
Tyler Tarr was already frustrated about the snaps. I think it was like 43% of the snaps he was playing, or even a lower percentage than that, like 30-something. But I just don't know that that was the best way to go about getting a new deal. And, you know, I think he's going to mess around and be on another type of deal like that, where it's like a one-year deal, and you got to show whoever signs you that you're trustworthy and that you could, you know, play and fit the scheme, all that good stuff. So I was surprised by it. A little bit more also, you know, because I asked Mike Vrabel about that on Friday, you know, about Tyler Tarr, and he just said that, you know, don't look too much into it. So I was like, okay, I guess he's good, you know. But the questions about the effort and the attitude, that's something that has been brewing in that locker room for a bit. And it wasn't just like coach to player, it was player to player also. So it's something that, you know, just kind of hit ahead, and here we are.
Deron, what did you think should be? You've covered a lot of different teams. You've watched a lot of different teams. When a team is out, there were some questions today by a lot of different members of the media of, now that you're out of it, does your mindset change a little bit on decisions you make with players? Tannehill will be one. You've already answered that one. I'm curious about Simmons and how you feel about that, because I can make the argument that even though he may really want to play, even if he's less than 100%, he wants to be out there, but you got a big investment in him, and is it the best thing to put him out there if he's not 100%?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know fully what to make of that, honestly. I mean, it's just, this team has three games left, and it's one of those things where, like, you gotta see what you have, right? And I think, you know, you look at some of these players, you know, like Caleb Murphy is a guy I think should be able to suit up, you know, so you see what you have in him. For me, like, it's just evaluation. You got to see what's left on the roster. That's the main thing.
So what about Simmons specifically?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, when you look at Simmons, you know, how bad is the knee, right? I mean, the good thing is it's not the left knee that he hurt before, but, I mean, is it ligament damage? Is it, you know, something that, if he plays on it, it'll get worse. And you are out of the playoffs, so what full benefit, you know, would bringing him back have? And I'm sure he wants to play because, obviously, you know, he loves football. So you just got to weigh that out. I think that's really the main thing. But that's why I say, you know, it might be good to get some of these younger guys, see what you got in them, you know, because, I mean, they're probably going to have to get a D tackle in the draft, you know, so – knowing that, you know, see what level of investment you have to put in that position during the offseason by seeing what you have in those guys like Bohannon, like Johnson, et cetera.
D-tackle in addition to left tackle, right tackle, receiver, corner. You got a long wish list in this offseason. But last question from me, TD. I can't help but think that losing to the Houston Texans, especially when you're wearing those uniforms, hurts probably a little bit more for Amy Adams-Strunk to lose to that team in that fashion, wearing those uniforms, Mike Vrabel walking in with the Bum Phillips cowboy hat. That's probably embarrassing for Amy Adams-Strunk. Do you expect any changes to be made, maybe a reaction to the embarrassment that Amy Adams-Strunk might be feeling after that loss?
No, I think because if it was going to happen, it would have happened today. I mean, you look at, you know, what they've done in the past as far as, like, the one move with Craig Aukerman. It's definitely embarrassing for them. I get it, but I think they're doing a good job of not being overreactionary and making, you know, off-the-cuff moves. But at the same time, look, John Robinson got fired on a Tuesday last year, and none of us expected that to be the case, and that's what happened. So nothing was surprising.
Yeah, that one was totally, totally out of left field. TD, Jaron Davenport, appreciate you as always. Enjoy the rest of your week, TD, and we appreciate you for joining us.
Yeah, appreciate you. You guys take it easy. And I'm sure my daughters will appreciate you because we're in a grocery store and they know I'm on the phone and I'm not able to tell them, hey, $20 bag or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, watch out also for the sugar cereals, Teron. I'm sure we got some Lucky Charms, Apple Jacks in there trying to sneak it by Dad.
The Reese's Puffs just fell into the grocery cart. You know, there's nothing they could have done about it. All right, Tini, enjoy the rest of your grocery trip and we'll chat with you soon.
Take it easy. Enjoy the game tonight, too.
All right. Thanks. You too, TD. TD, he is the absolute best. Coming up next, we'll react to what TD had to say there. We'll get back into your phones. Plus, Willie alluded to some comments that Derrick Henry made postgame. What do we make of it? What do we make of the future of Derrick Henry and the Titans? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.